put on an eighth of a pound this week, and I just feel horrible. That's Weight Watchers for you. You know, and you step in there, and the counselor lady at the desk puts you on the scale, and their whole demeanor changes depending on how you did that week. Craig, I don't want you to be alarmed. We're gonna get through this together. You put on 8/10 of a pound, Craig. Oh God, the humanity. Oh God, what are we gonna do? You should get some of our Weight Watchers bars. They're all on sale. $3 for $1. Three boxes now are $5 per box. With a $3 option, you can get our Weight Watchers Fancy Plan, which is a really good deal, actually. Oh, God, I can't believe you put on 8/10 of a pound. Are you okay? Suckle at my bosom. We'll get through this together. Weight Watchers steak tartare is only 3 pounds, 3 points per serving. It's quite a delicious option for all of you going keto. It's quite good. Oh God, I'm so sorry. 8/10 of a pound, you fat fuck, Craig. God, how do you live with yourself? Step to the right. No, I ate totally bad a couple days, so there you go. You just feel like hell if you put on the slightest amount of weight. If you haven't lost weight, you feel terrible. You know, when you lose, you're like, life is good. See that? I'm good. They still try to sell you shit, but life is good. Huh? Check me out. I'm all fucking light and shit. But if you're up, boy, forget it. It's terrible. All right. Hello. I am in my car. O'clock in the afternoon, I have horrible anxiety. I don't even know over what. I think about the nuances, the goings-ons of my day, and it's really not a big deal. It's just all of it adds up to anxiety. It's terrible. I don't wish this state of mind on anyone. And right now I'm in the dissipated side of it, right? So I just came off of 3.25 miles of running, 100 push-ups, 100 sit-ups, and some stretching. And so that dissipates, you know, 55, 65, maybe 70 to 75% of it. So an hour ago, before I ran, I was not in a good state of mind at all. And I think I know what's going on. It's a lot of little things. My nephew turns 21 on Saturday, and I don't know if I can go because I gotta work. And I probably should have asked for it off, but I've been asking for too many Saturdays off in a row. And every time I take a Saturday off, I lose $100. So that means, you know, It's $100 that I would be losing, and I want to spend $100 on him, and that's $200. I don't have any money, as usual. I mean, I have money. I don't know if I can afford $200. So that's frustrating. That's embarrassing. I want to buy him something anyways. I love him. He's turning 21. It's incredible. My ex is in Arizona visiting family. Can't talk to her. She's kind of off the loop. Her nephew is in jail. So she's visiting him for the first time, which is tough. The poor guy. That sucks. He's in jail. Maybe that affects me somehow. I don't know. Gordon called. He wants me to put $60 on a Venmo for him. I don't know why. I guess I'll gotta do that. That's pissing me off. It doesn't piss me off. I'll do it. I don't give a shit. I gotta take my friend to his cancer treatments tomorrow. That's always fucking fun. Cancer is just killing people left and right. No one seems to give a shit. What else? I'm trying to get my head around this new screenplay stuff that I'm trying to figure out. I'm trying to write a new screenplay. I'm not even trying to write a screenplay. I'm trying to come up with a new idea for open miking and a show or something. I just can't seem to get my goddamn head around it completely, and I don't know how the finances would work, and it's bothering me. So I took this $500 seminar from this lady named Diane Bell .com, and she's a nice lady. She has directed three films, I don't know. And then, you know, it has the whole pedigree, so she's legit. And it was a class that sort of talks about clearing out all of the muck that goes on that keeps us from our dreams. You know, so the idea is to, you know, confront all of this stuff and put it aside and see that it's bullshit and become empowered and actualize, you know. Because a lot of people with particular show business, they stand in their own way, right? So you're... You have an idea or whatever, but then you're like, oh, no one will like it, or I'm not good enough. And where's the money going to come from? That's my issue, is where's the money going to come from? You know, I've lost so much money in the past, and I've just had every horrible thing happen. Just terrible. I had terrible luck with show business. It's just sad but true. I've never had any luck. I don't know how else to say that. It's not necessarily the most positive thing, but it's just the truth. Any good fortune I've had has been at my own doing, and there hasn't been a whole lot, to be honest. So I took this class, and I was like, all right, maybe she can help sort of clear a path and help me, you know. And it's kind of helpful. She's sincere in her quest and all that, but I'm not sure how much follow through there is, and it's not like she's gonna open her black book and throw out some contacts. Here you go. You know, that's why. So it kind of remains a little bit detached, and just think positive thoughts and stuff like that. And it's like, yeah, I've done that. I've done plenty of that, you know, and none of it worked. You know, none of it worked. I think that's part of the anxiety, is it forces you to, this class has sort of forced me to examine my past a little bit and to kind of take a look and say, well, what went wrong there? Or what went wrong over there? And I don't know, I've never been too open about this stuff in public. And some of it I have. I wrote about some of my comedy experiences in my last book, Comedy Will Save Us All, available on Amazon Kindle for $1.99. Absolutely no one will buy it. Thank you. I've thought about some of this stuff, but there's a deeper thought behind a lot of it. And I don't know. I think it's forcing me to take a look at some stuff, you know, and it's not too pretty. You know, there were moments when I wanted to pitch a script and doors got shut on me by friends, people that I thought were friends, and never heard from them again to this day. I did industry showcases, you know, years and years ago, and it didn't end well. You know, the agents were not nice to me. I don't know how else to say that. And a lot of the people that I did shows with went on to fame and fortune. You know, there was that. And I just kind of floundered. I ended up sleeping on couches for years. You know, trying to make sense of it. Trying to get something going. Anything. You know, couldn't hang on to a job. Had menial jobs. Jobs that folded. My cousin, bless his soul, my cousin employed me for three and a half years. He went under. You know, he was in the record business for years, and he's like, we're done. There's no more record industry. We're done. You know? I worked in porn for about a year. I was a web administrator for a web porno website that had like 5 subscribers. It turned out it was all just a tax shelter for one guy who was using porn to shelter and shuffle money around, but also he used it as his whorehouse. And that was it. He put himself in the movies and put women under contract, shot films with them, and I don't think anyone was watching, and their sales were minimal. He didn't care. Or he did care. No, his name was, what was his name? Paul Chaplin. He wanted to be a famous person. Wanted to be famous. And with all his heart and soul, he wanted to be famous. I respected that part of it. You know, he wanted fame and fortune and was willing to broker it one way or the other. He was a defrocked tax attorney from London, and he had stolen money and sheltered it. Just a giant piece of shit. And he came to America and he opened a company here. There were branches in Amsterdam and in London. And he just fucked his way across Europe and fucked his way into the United States. You know? And the checks never bounced, but one day they were like, you gotta go, you're fired. We're firing a bunch of people later. And they were a month ahead of the sheriff's department closing out the whole facility, you know. That was that. I learned how to edit there. I learned how to shoot there. So I was grateful for that. My coworkers were nice, but management was questionable at best. It's been the kind of experiences that I've had. I tried writing a script off of that, and one lady, she's the ex-wife of a best friend of mine. She was going through a divorce with my best friend. She was a network person, and she said she, you know, she was interested in reading whatever I wrote, and I just, I took 6 months to write it, and I wrote it, and I texted her, and, you know, never heard from her. She was gone. And I was like, I texted her a couple times, like, hey, what's up? Nothing. And then I looked on Facebook and I realized she had thrown me off her Facebook. That's when you know you're out. That's when you know you're off the guest list, is they throw you off their Facebook. And, you know, completely unapologetic about it. I saw her, I ran into her like 2 or 3 years later at a party, and she just had no recollection of any of it. And just a horrible person. Just so tragically insensitive. And, you know, the marriage between her and my pal was just stormy. It was rocky, and neither of them were completely innocent of charges, but she was particularly brutal. And I don't know. I mean, I get it. For me, from my vantage point, it was, you know, she was just trying to protect her own interests and moving on, and she had divorced him and all that. But I mean, she cut me out of her life, too. And at the time, I was in recovery over my father dying. I didn't have much in terms of hope. And she had brought me on to the Warner Brothers lot. We had done notes together on the script, and she gave me some excellent direction and feedback. And she said, I'll read whatever you got. And I was like, okay. And I didn't have much going on because I was a basket case over the death of my father. So I wrote. And she was that one kind of beacon of light of hope that I had. And nope. Fuck you. And I'll never forget that one. And that's just, a lot of those kind of moments have happened for me, and those are contributing towards an overall anxiety that I'm experiencing from a day-to-day level. And a lot of it gets suppressed and repressed, and we don't really know what to do with the energy. A lot of it I dissipate through exercise, frankly. You know, my life is rough and at times, and there's not a whole lot we can do about that except meditate through it and accept what life has to offer or not offer. And that's where I'm at. I feel better just sort of talking and saying it. I have such trepidation because I would love to just start writing whatever next project it is that I want to write. But I'm so, you know, fed up. It's like, well, what's the end game? And what's the point? And there's no money in it. No one's listening. No one's watching. You know, what's the incentive? If I do something, if I do a new film or something, like, who's watching, you know? And how much money is it costing? And whose money is that I'm spending? And is this really a story that needs to be told? And, you know, all those things kind of go through your head, and those are your limiting beliefs that you have to kind of figure out how to set aside so that you can function. And that's just me wrestling with the process. And I'm a mess. I'm just a mess. And I've always been a mess, and I'm not sure how to deal with that. And I'm not necessarily convinced that Ms. Diane Bell, is a person that I can confide in so as to help get through this. She's just a person who has a series of courses available online that you can watch
and assess yourself accordingly. And I just don't know how helpful that is, you know. I don't know if that's working for me. Feels a bit stoic, I guess. I don't know. So I'm trying to work through the exercises as she has set them forth, and to a varying degree of success and failure, you know. And the thing, the big message that I'm learning is, you know, you just have to do it. Set aside your bullshit, get past yourself, and just do it. Put aside all of your past experiences and horrible stuff that's happened, and that isn't now, that was then, and all those horrible people are gone. I'd like to think they're gone. And punch through the fear, and that's really all her lessons are, and I guess that's what I'm doing. You know, my main muscle is stand up, and it feels good to do that, but it's not everything. So I'm constantly coming up with stories to tell and things of that nature. With the open micer thing, I mean, I want to tell stories that are kind of true, but also fictionalized and relevant, you know. And so that's what I want. I think that those would be interesting to tell. So those stories, right? So like one story would be me running into a famous comic that I used to do open mics with, and he's on his way to his agent to talk about his latest big thing, and I'm delivering a pizza in the building. So it's a pretty easy setup. And and then he, you know, the classic exchange of, how you doing? And I look at him like, in my pizza uniform, like, how do you think I'm doing? Oh, yeah. You know. Amici's, what is that? Is that a local? I haven't tried that. Maybe we'll get that catered. You see that shit too? Yeah. And that's it. That would be one scene. So, and yes, versions of that have happened. So, I think I'm coming out of it. These anxiety episodes are pretty much every day for a while. And the more activity I have, the less sharp they are and the less I think about them. They're still there. I've always had depressive episodes and anxiety episodes, and they're horribly debilitating, and people don't quite understand why or how, but it's just a nightmare, basically. It's like I was diagnosed with low-functioning, constant depression, right? So my body, my mind is in a constant state of depression, and it's low level, so I'm functional, but it's high enough so that it's debilitating, and there's no medication, there's no cure. I was on Depakote and Prozac and Zoloft for 10, 12 years straight, and can't afford it, doesn't do much anyways. And honestly, the best medicine is exercise and meditation. It's really all you can do. And good diet. And trying not to think about the failures of your life. You're listening to the Craigcast. Part of this Weight Watchers thing is you gotta watch what you eat, right? You gotta, at all times, you gotta watch it. Everything's counted. Everything's got points. What are your points? You gotta count your points.
count. Did you count your points, Craig? Jesus.
Oh, my car is fucking stalling.
Ooh, yeah, thank you.
Jesus.
Just a little bit. Just move up a little bit. Maybe just a little.
Asshole.
Fuck you and Hamer Toyota where you bought that car.
You gotta watch your points.
And I fall into these dips where I don't eat, so I'm hungry, right? I got all this anxiety now, and I gotta eat, and that makes it worse. And there's no food at home, and I go into the fucking CVS thing, and there's really not a whole lot of options there for me to eat. It's all meat or dairy. I'm trying to stop both of those. Slowly but surely, I've been off of meat for a long time now. I only eat chicken on occasion and fish even rarer. And no, I haven't eaten red meat in 20 years. And pork or lamb or anything, I don't do any of that. Chicken and turkey, I have a little bit every year for the holidays. That's it. I'm just fishing around and I'm trying to look for something. I'm just getting more and more frustrated. And there's that fucking music again. That overhead music that's just that playlist from the 70s or the 80s or the maybe the 90s. And you've heard them all. And it's just gonna be a mad emotion. Gonna need a pair of weed. Gonna need a gonna set up on fire. And it's just, I'm looking around, I'm like, where are the almonds? I just gotta find almonds. Say down most fire! Where are the almonds? Say down most fire, Craig! Where are the almonds? I don't know. You're looking for almonds. I don't know where they are! Say down most fire! Oh, God! Ah! Stop! I can't fuck. Where are the goddamn almonds? Jesus! Just get me out of this fucking store! Here! The almonds over here by the prophylactics and the new single serving Lucky Charms. Here's your almonds. Do you want salty or unsalty? Ah, St. Elmo's fire, Craig, with Demi Moore and Rob Lowe. They sang in that song in that bar. She was a waitress. He was on saxophone. Yeah, clap your hands. I'm Rob Lowe. St. Elmo's fire. Where's your almonds, Craig? Go, go, go. Get your almonds now. You're so hungry. So hungry with your Weight Watchers. You must have your points. Eat your points, Weight Watchers. St. Elmo's fire. Rob Lowe, Demi Moore, saxophone playing. Joe Schumacher's directorial debut. Actually, it wasn't. It was actually DC Cab, which was about 3 years before that.
I get out to the fucking car. I got my almonds. Oh, thank God I got my almonds. I had to pay in cash.
St. Elmo's fire.
You know, and it's one of those self-serve, you pay thing. You put all the money in the slot. And you pay in slow.
St. Elmo's fire, $1. St. Elmo's fire, $2. St. Elmo's fire, $3. $4. Wait for your change, Craig. Wait for your change, St. Elmo's fire.
Oh. And I get out to the party. I finally get the almonds. We get to my car. And the bag that the almonds are in is impossible. Here, look. I'll just play the. Here, look. I can't. They're like half open. I can't open this fucking bag of almonds. It's impossible. My fingers are so weak.
You're weak. Weak. Say, Devil's Fire could have opened that bag of almonds. You're weak, Spivak. Weak.
So I'm just staring at the bag of almonds. And I'm not even thinking about the quest bar that I bought. Jesus.
Quest. It's a quest for St. Elmo's fire.
Ugh, Christ. I can't. You just can't leave the house anymore. You really. Come on, almonds. Open. I'm driving and open. I can't get a good
open! God damn it! You're almonds! You want to be eaten! You like being eaten and pooped out! Ah! It's good for the planet! Ah! Why is your packaging so tragic and difficult? Oh, shit! Now, no, fuck! Now I got almonds all over me. Oh, that's good. Yay!
You ever see those guys at gas stations filling up their tanks and driving a Prius? They got glasses and maybe a tweed type of shirt, sweatshirt on, clean shaven, and they're fucking pale as fuck, and they're just creepy, and they just got that look like, yeah, I was gonna be a serial killer back in high school, college. But then I met Annette, and we got married, and I went into insurance because I thought I got her pregnant and blah, blah, blah. I could have been a Ted Bundy. I could have done it. But now I got a Prius. I got another, and I got a down payment coming up on her lease. Oh, well. Dad a dream.
You want me above the skies of here.
Robert Cravery. Well, thanks for listening, folks. Just remember, opportunity is always a corner away, a knock away, a moment away. Turn the corner. You never know when you bump into opportunity. Either that or a serial killer hanging out at a fucking gas station. Thank you for listening. Great guest. Oh, God. Oh, yes.